Back. My name's Charlie. Thank you, Sarah. And thank you, Lynn. When you told me that I was doing this, the first thing I wanted to do was back out because stuff like this definitely scares me, you know. I've never done this before, but I know that whatever comes out of my mouth is going to be as a result of my higher power, hopefully. Hopefully it's not something that, if you're looking for something that's like disjointed and unclear, you might be in for a treat today. So, I'm going to do the best I can. So our symbol, I really, you know, I've seen that page many times. Can you guys hear me okay back there? Okay. And I've always glazed over it, never really took a look at it. So I'm, in a way, Lynn, I'm very glad that you asked me to do this because it gave me a chance to actually learn something. And it's the very first page of our basic text. And the very first sentence, I believe, essentially is that the key to our symbol is simplicity. And that really is the key to my recovery as well, is keeping it simple, because I know if it were my symbol instead of our symbol, the key would be complexity. And rather than being a circle inside of a square inside of a circle, it would be like, you know, rising to the point of freedom. It would be something like a parallelogram inside of an oval, rising to the point of perfection, you know, something like that. And so I'm just really grateful that there's a, you know, that there's a program that allows me, that gives me a path to recovery, and a path to becoming a better person. And I like that simplicity is the key to our symbol, because for me, I need to keep it simple. Otherwise, I'm in big trouble. So, I didn't really know what to say so much about our symbol, but I figured that everybody in here might not know what our symbol is. So it is a circle, and the circle represents the universal program, and the universal program has room in it for all manifestations of the recovering addict. And inside that circle is the square. I guess some people call it the diamond. And that square represents goodwill, which is the foundation of our recovery. And I was talking with another addict about goodwill and what does goodwill mean. And actually looked it up because I didn't really know. There's a number of definitions, but some of the ones that I thought were particularly applicable to recovery is an atmosphere of support, loving, caring, benevolence, kindness, and you know, that really is, and that's the foundation, and I can't get to that point of freedom unless I have that foundation of goodwill. And you know, so often I find myself envious of somebody else, or thinking like, you know, somebody else has something that I want, you know, and sometimes I even find myself thinking, you know, I wish that person didn't have that. Why are they happy and I'm not, you know, or how come they're funnier than me, or whatever. But you know, when I can get out of that, when I can get into a space of goodwill where I'm thinking that I want the best for people, you know, I want them to thrive and succeed. I want them to do well. I want them to be happy. You know, I don't want to be happy as a result of someone else's misery. That really, the nature of the disease is self-centeredness, and the antidote to that self-centeredness is goodwill. You know, because when I can honestly put myself out there and be in loving service to others and hope for the best for them, I get so much freedom from that. I really do. You know, it was really a revelation to me to have this conversation with this other recovering addict and talking about goodwill being the antidote to self-centeredness. And that's something that I really, really grateful for having that conversation, and really grateful that again, that I was asked to do this. Otherwise, I would never have heard that, probably. The actual square itself, that's the foundation of goodwill. But there's four sides to that square, and those are our self, society, service, and God. So I guess I'll talk about those a little bit. For me, self is learning to have a relationship with myself. It is my whole life I've sought validation from the outside. I have looked for others to make me feel good about who I am. I live my life vicariously. You know, I had a wife and a child and a house and everything, but I was miserable on the inside. I hated who I was. And in many ways, I just wanted not to be here anymore. But I didn't have the... Thank God I didn't have the courage to actually do anything about that, to actually kill myself or anything like that. You know, I really feel like had I been out there much longer, I may have gotten to the point where death would have seemed like a very viable option for me. I'm very grateful that did not happen. You know, as I was saying, that the outside validation is the way I live my life. And to this day, it still gets me. You know, I love getting that pat on the back. And there's nothing wrong with that sometimes. You know, it's okay. It's okay for me to feel good about myself as a result of somebody else telling me I'm doing a good job. But at the end of the day, that's not going to get it done. You know, that's not going to get it done. And what I've learned throughout this process is that I have to do some work to develop that relationship with myself and to be okay with myself. And really, you know, one of the ultimate goals for me in recovery is to be comfortable in my own skin. And it's you know, some days are better than others with that. I would say most of the time I'm still a little bit uncomfortable with myself. You know, at work I feel like a fraud a lot of times. You know, I feel like if they only knew who I was, that they would... they surely reject me, just like it says in our basic text. And it's really, I guess today's just for today, it was about acting as if, you know. And that's what I feel like I'm doing most of the time, particularly at work, is just showing up and almost pretending like I know what I'm doing. And the fact of the matter is, I've learned some things in here, and I do know what I'm doing a lot of the time. You know, I rarely give myself that break, though. I rarely allow myself to feel like I'm okay. You know, and that's what learning to develop a relationship with myself is all about. Learning to understand that I'm okay, and learning to love myself, and learning to feel comfortable in my own skin. Society is the next side of the square, if you will, and what that tells me, my interpretation of that is I can't do it alone. I need help, and that's something that's very difficult for me to do, is to ask for help. The way I was raised, and I've heard a lot of people talk about this in the rooms, is to be self-sufficient and self-reliant, not to ask for help. Ask for help is a sign of weakness, and I don't think I was ever specifically told asking for help was a sign of weakness, but by watching my father and the way he conducted himself, it was ingrained in me that, you know, do it yourself. Figure it out. If you can't figure it out yourself, then there's something wrong with you. Basically, that's the message that I got. And as a result, you know, I went years and years wanting to stop using, but not being able to because I didn't know how to ask for help. You know, I had to figure it out myself, you know, and I kept saying to myself, well, you know, if I really apply myself to it, if I really want to stop, I will. And I would set these sort of benchmarks for myself, or these, I'd sort of draw these lines in the sand, you know, that I'll stop when. Yeah, I'll stop using when I get out of school. I'll stop using when I turn 25. Or I'll stop using when I get a real job. Or I'll stop using when I have a kid. You know, and all of these things happen, and I continue to use. You know, always crossing that line in the sand, and then always being in denial about it afterwards, not being able to admit to myself that there was a problem, and certainly not being able to ask for help. So what I've learned here in Narcotics Anonymous is that If I want to stay clean, I need to ask for help. And when I can do that, when I can actually speak up and say, "Hey, I need help. I'm hurting," I get so much relief from it, and it allows me to move forward and go on to the next phase of my recovery, or go on to whatever is in front of me, rather than being stopped up and not being able to move forward, being paralyzed by fear, you know. And there's something also about asking for help in a group setting that really helps me out a lot. There's something magical about it that I don't quite understand, but when I'm able to share in a group how I'm feeling and that I need help, I get so much relief from it. I guess it's something about being able to spread the burden amongst a number of people, as opposed to just one-on-one with someone in my network or my sponsor. So I need to be able to raise my hand. And I do. I do a lot of H&I work, and that's one of the things that we try to emphasize at the end of each H&I meeting to the patients. Is that, you know, A, you need to stay clean, basically. B, first thing you got to do when you get out of here is have a plan and go to a meeting. And when you get that meeting, raise your hand and say you need help, because I expect people to be psychic and know that I'm in pain, you know, and know that I need something from them. And again, I'm afraid to ask for help because I think that's a reflection of me and some sort of weakness. But people don't know. You know, people don't know. I have to meet them halfway. I have to be the one to ask for help. And really, only when I can do that am I going to get some relief. The next side of this square is service, and I just mentioned service, and service is a big one for me. I feel like service allows me to get out of myself more than anything else that I do. To be of service to somebody else is something that I can't even really describe. It's almost profound how it gets me out of myself and how it allows me to feel good about who I am and allows me to stop thinking about me, you know, because, again, the nature of the disease is self-centeredness. And if just for a moment sometimes I can start thinking about somebody else and their needs rather than my own needs, that is a big success for me. And that happens more often than it used to. The further I go in recovery and the more I participate in my own recovery and the more I make myself of service, the more often I feel that way. And the longer the period in between of being so intently focused on myself, and thinking about my needs and how I was hurt and, you know, how everybody's looking at me and how everybody is judging me and people think of me what I think of myself, and that sort of self-centeredness just really does not serve me at all. But it is such a hallmark of the disease for me. You know, I can't help but think that every one of you right now are thinking, you know, what a shitty job I'm doing. Pardon my language, I'm working on that. But that's probably not the case. It's probably not the case. Some of you probably think I'm doing a pretty good job. Some of you think, you know, I wish I'd gone to another workshop. You know what? It's all good. It's all good because I'm up here. I'm who I am. You know, this is what my higher power wants me to say, wants me to do. You know, I was talking to Sarah last night, and she was talking about something that her sponsor said to her about higher power, and that, you know, I guess I'm totally screwing this up, I know, but she screwed it up to me too, so it's... You know, something's getting, there's like a double lost in translation thing going on here. But essentially, the things that are happening to me and the things that are going on in my life, my defects of character and the way I, even though everything's not perfect in my life, you know, even though things don't go the way I want them to all the time, it's exactly what my higher power wants for me. because that is how I'm going to learn what I need to learn and get what I need to get eventually, is by going through what I have to go through. So actually that kind of that kind of segues nicely into the last side of the square, which is God. And I've learned to have a relationship with a loving and caring higher power, and I don't know necessarily what that is, and I don't necessarily need to be able to define it. And that's talking about simplicity being the key. And I guess, you know, I've heard also if I'm able to define my higher power, then that by definition limits my higher power. So all I know for me is that my higher power works for me through the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I usually hear my higher power when I'm in a meeting with other addicts, and I'm continually learning to develop that relationship with my higher power, and it's something that I know for me is one of the keys to freedom. Right, freedom is the point, right, at the point of the pyramid, and if I cannot develop that relationship with myself and with my higher power, that freedom is going to be limited. One thing I heard too, and this is kind of silly, but I kind of liked it, is that there is, within the circle is a square, but if you're in the circle, it doesn't necessarily mean you're in the square. There's like little spaces in between. So what you want to do is you want to be in that square so you can be under the point of freedom. And I know, you know, the universal program, which is a circle, says that there's room for all manifestations of the recovering addict. And I guess that means that there's room for the recovering addict who's sort of on the fringes and isn't getting in the middle of this thing and sort of going to a meeting, you know, once a month and that sort of thing. But I want to be firmly planted within the center of that square, you know, because I feel like if I'm in the middle of this thing, I'm not going to fall out. And if I'm in the middle of saying the possibility to have that freedom that it talks about in our symbol is so much greater than if I'm on the periphery of the program. So I guess sort of to wrap it all up, I just want to reiterate how grateful I am to be in recovery and how grateful I am to Narcotics Anonymous. And the biggest difference in my life is the way I feel about myself today as opposed to how I felt about myself 7.5 years ago. And I wouldn't say that I love myself. Sometimes I feel like I display love toward myself, and I do loving things toward myself. But I would say, for the most part, I like who I've become today as opposed to before I got clean. I couldn't stand who I was. I couldn't stand who I was. I lost myself. I lost everything. I lost my family. I lost my wife. I lost my daughter. But all of these people and all these things are in my life today because I'm clean. You know, it's truly a blessing to be here talking in front of you guys. And I'm just extremely, extremely grateful. And thank you again, Lynn, for asking me to do this. Thanks for letting me share.